Hey, Sheldon.
Hey, Scott, how are you doing?
Good. How are you on this fine Saturday?
Just waking up.
That's right. You are having probably an intense, like, healing spiritual gathering that you go to every Friday night.
It's all about the healing.
It is all about the healing.
It's all about the healing always, right?
Yes, that's kind of why we're here, I think.
I think that's why we're here, and I think that's what we're supposed to talk about today.
I think you're right. You nailed it.
You gave me a clue.
I did.
You clued me in on that. I said, hey, by the way, dude. I said, oh, okay, cool.
But that's right. We will be definitely talking about healing and the Course in Miracles perspective on healing.
We will.
And I think before we do that, like, I like the rhythm that we have where we do like some kind of a meditation to just sort of lock things in and clear out probably whatever we've been going through over the last week. I know you and I were chatting. Yeah, you and I were chatting. It was a pretty intense week, I know, for both of us at least, especially at work, I think. And sounds like also, Sheldon, some personal stuff too. Just a lot of things coming up.
Just life, period. It's all cranked up and stirred up and all kinds of healing going on everywhere. So I guess we'll have plenty to talk about if we want, right?
I think so. And I think because this topic is probably near and dear to a lot of people's hearts, if you're out there listening and you feel like contributing by calling in, you can call in live at 888-627-6008.
Okay. Should we just jump right into doing a little meditation here?
Let's do it.
Let's just do it. I think that sounds perfect. So, obviously, you're welcome to join if you're listening. Obviously, if you're driving or doing something like that, you might want to stop and not do that.
Safety first.
Safety first. But get comfortable. Preferably sitting back straight. I prefer eyes closed. Take a nice deep inhalation. With a nice full exhalation. Bringing your awareness into the breath, which brings you into present moment awareness, brings you into your body, into this moment, and just focusing on the breath. Naturally allows the mind to release its focus on anger over the past and guilt over the past and fear of the future. So we're releasing our connection from anger and guilt thoughts about the past and fear thoughts of the future and just resting into the breath in this present moment. Can invite the Holy Spirit by simply saying, Holy Spirit, come. And then allowing the Holy Spirit to enter and awaken within. You can feel a vibration shifting in the center of your heart sometimes. Whatever thoughts might enter into your awareness, you just allow them to drift in and drift out. And you just return your awareness to the breathing. Bringing it back into this moment. The mantra is allow, allowing what is to be, accepting this moment as it is. These are aspects of unconditional love. So just by allowing the moment to be as it is, you're actually connecting to the divinity, to divine love within and without, just by allowing. You're bringing in grace. We ask that this grace, this divine love that is within and without, we ask that that love, that unconditional love that accepts, allows, trusts, embraces all things exactly as they are, we ask that this love inform our thoughts, guides our speech and our actions and our deeds and our movements, so that all that we say and all that we do and all that we are in this world becomes an expression of absolute unconditional love and compassion. Let that love be the force that directs your life. And I'd like to conclude by bringing my hands together in prayer to give thanks. And then that's it. We are done. You can open your eyes. Come on back.
That was really, really nice, Sheldon. Wow.
Short and sweet.
It was, but I was obviously speaking for myself. Wow, that was really deep, too. Pretty amazing.
It's cool, huh?
It always is. It's just such a reminder with all the craziness that is around us, I think, that how quickly you can just lock in and connect.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take much.
Yep.
And it's always available.
And, yeah, you know, my thing is, you know, those little short ones throughout the day, your lunch break, your morning break, afternoon break, just sitting at your computer, that, you know, you can intersperse those little moments of quiet by going within and anchoring that peace, you know, throughout the day and multiple little times, is bringing that peace, bringing that love into your day, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is better than doing a 1 hour one in the morning and then just forgetting about it for the rest of the day, or going to a retreat, which is great if you know.
Yep.
But then not practicing that and bringing it into your daily life. So that's what we're all about. That's what this show's about, right? It's about, you know, what we're doing in our daily life, right?
Exactly. It's about true mastery of how do you bring the retreat into everything that you're doing.
Exactly. I want a retreat right now.
Yeah, and you can have it. That's what's cool. I mean, I think you and I have talked about it, like even with all, you know, this, maybe the stresses of a day job, things like that. I mean, you can still bring that peace in whenever you need to, which is really healing your mind.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Healing and bringing that, you know, love is what heals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And bringing that love into your beingness, you have to receive to give. And then as you give and extend, you receive more. You open to receive more, and it becomes a cycle. So that loving ever more deeply, ever more profoundly, ever more unconditionally becomes a blessed cycle. I was going to say a vicious cycle.
Right. Yeah.
The opposite of that, right? A joyous, blessed cycle of ever deepening love and radiance and joy and happiness that happens on more and more deeper levels and more unconditionally, absolutely, to where that's all that you are and that's all that is. Kind of cool.
Kind of. Just a little bit.
Kind of cool. And then you can do that wherever you are.
That's right.
In the middle of your auto body shop like I am, or yep, in a major aerospace corporation like you are, you know, with deadlines, mm-hmm, and meetings and craziness and all kinds of pressures, seeming pressures and stuff like that of what has to happen, and still, yeah, you know, come from a place of peace and love and compassion and quietness within as you're moving forward and making decisions and doing what you need to do.
Yep, exactly. And that's why, you know, it just doesn't matter where you work or what you do for a living or what you don't do for a living. If you have, you know, you're either in retirement or maybe you have that financial luxury, I think everyone has pressures and demands in their life and stresses. And, you know, I think what we're learning and what we're sharing is we found ways that actually creates more peace. And really, again, what it comes down to is it's healing not only your mind, but the greater subconscious mind. And I think that's why I'm looking forward to today's show, because I think we're going to talk about kind of the course philosophy, but also like the reality, the practicality of all this and how really this, it works. And especially I want to talk about you, Sheldon, because I mean, you're someone in at least in my life that just has always amazed me with your ability to heal, even with the hands-on stuff. And I think there's just so much we can talk about here that maybe it's not, we can't fit it all into this show, but healing in general is such a huge topic to delve into, and it's something I think, you know, everyone on the planet wants to learn how to become more masterful around.
Yeah, and it's what the purpose of the course is, really. And I guess it's kind of the, you know, you it's such a huge, big word and broad word, right? To say healing, yep, right? That you can kind of, yep, it's the whole purpose of everything. And it's an easy way to talk about sort of course principles with somebody who might not be familiar with it and might, mm-hmm, be put off by it if you're just talking about, oh, well, you know, it's all about healing. And I've actually said that many times to people. It's just healing old wounds, healing things, and just sort of letting go, you know, and then you have more peace. And as a just sort of a very casual way of kind of talking about what it is that, you know, it comes up in conversation at work or whatever, you know, because people know that I do meditation and stuff like that. Not everybody knows I'm doing Course in Miracles, but, you know, oftentimes I use the word healing as a way of describing it.
Yep.
The process, you know, it's just process of healing. Oh, okay, cool. And everybody, yeah, kind of has some understanding of what that means.
Some understanding, yeah, and that's why maybe it'd be good now if we both read our quotes, kind of just start off with the course's perspective on healing and dive into it.
Sure. Am I reading the one that I read? I guess so. I found it on some post. I don't even know where it's from. It says, all sickness comes from separation. When the separation is denied, it goes. For it is gone as soon as the idea which brought it has been healed and replaced by sanity.
Hmm. That's cool.
So healing is really just a form of sanity. You're restoring, yeah, sanity.
And talking about separation, right? That's the ultimate source of all of our suffering and sickness.
That is the cause of all the insanity.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And then, yeah, so we'll get into that later, but what's yours?
I'm going to be greedy. I'm going to read two.
Awesome.
The first one, Yeah, the first one is at the beginning of the course where it's talking more about miracles, but miracles and healing are related. So miracles enable you to heal the sick and raise the dead because you made sickness and death yourself and can therefore abolish both. And I like that one because it's a reminder that, you know, we are ultimately responsible for what we've created in our mind and that our mind is extremely powerful. Mm-hmm. It's like, and then the second one was later in the course in chapter 19, section 1, paragraph 3. The body cannot heal because it cannot make itself sick. It needs no healing. Its health or sickness depends entirely on how the mind perceives it and the purpose that the mind would use for it. Again, place the responsibility back and the source of where all sickness and pain stems from. It's in the mind, not in the body.
Mm-hmm. And that this dimension and your body and everything in it is an effect and not a cause.
Exactly.
So the mind of separation, the one mind that had this thought of separation and manufacture made this expression of that, this dimension that appears to show that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that all of this is an effect, it's not a cause. So that's mm-hmm. what that thing's saying, right? That the symptom of the body, the state of the body, is an effect of the state of the mind. And so it is not a cause. The body didn't cause that. The body doesn't cause anything. The body's the effect of the mind. So we have to get back to first cause. That's really what the course in terms of healing is talking about, is what is cause, getting back to cause itself.
Exactly. And kind of like getting back to both the ego show we had and the metaphysics of the course show, it's going back to that original split from God or source, and that we ran away in fear and guilt and shame, and because of all that, we've fractured, splintered, and now we create, the ego wants you to identify with the body. The ego actually wants you to be in pain, wants you to have disease, because then you'll be focused on the body and not remembering where you're at, you know, in heaven with God.
Right.
It's a great, great tool to distract.
Right. So then how do you, if somebody has something that, you know, is
kind of, I think what we try to do is decouple the fact that maybe there are people that are going through, you know, some very intense, painful things in their life. And it can be easy for people to use the course to actually beat themselves up more or go, well, I tried to heal, I tried to think with God, and it's still there. And then you could actually make it worse.
Right.
Because, I mean, you got to be really gentle on yourself. I mean, some people might, I mean, I like to think of things practically. I mean, even though the course is like, yeah, there's no such thing as linear time. I mean, in our experience, there is all these past life things or all the stuff that happened in your childhood. And there's the collective subconscious and all that builds up, and it ekes out as maybe cancer, or it ekes out as, you know, some sort of a strange disease. And it's hard to decouple all that and heal overnight. You know, that might not be the intention of what is meant for your learning and your healing.
And yeah, absolutely. And then sometimes people, I think, use, it's an illusion, this dimension or this, you know, form of the body's not real. And it becomes a form of denial, right?
Right.
That repression of acceptance and so it becomes a fear-based denial of accepting. So I think that it's really important that when we talk about it, it's always about love and compassion, right? It's always about love, because that is what is real. Only love is real. And so in looking at something that might not be, and it might be painful, for example, it's about acceptance, which is, like I said in the meditation, that is one of the aspects of unconditional love, is acceptance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's about accepting what is, right? Being present with that, fully accepting it, which is loving it, and loving it, just directly loving and expressing love and feeling the love, and not fearing, right? Because then you're just adding an energy of this fear and separation. You're reinforcing all of that into mm-hmm. something that you're wanting to hear. You know, on one level, you want to heal it. On another level, you're afraid of it and you're attacking it in your mind and thought process. And all that does is sort of make it real. Your fear makes it real. Your fear makes it real. And that's what the Course says, right? That it's your judgment, your fear and your judgment and your guilt is what makes something real.
Mm-hmm.
So the releasing of all of that is the healing. And as you release that on a, you know, through varying levels of emotional and mental layers, right, into healing the thought of separation, right, going back through different layers to the cause, first cause, and then it will, as that heals and shifts, as your that thought of separation is released and healed and returned to sanity, then it radiates through mm-hmm. and can manifest as a shift in the physical as well. And oftentimes does, and usually does, depends.
Yeah, I want to bring up like a specific example. I know for a while I've had a lot of migraines. They're really bad when I was a teenager, but then as an adult, you know, I would get them sporadically. And of course, I think they're also tied to, you know, stress and probably diet. But I wanted to mention it for a couple of reasons. One was when I was getting them and I didn't really know what to do about them and I was studying a course, you know, I would, as a migraine would come up, I would really, you know, try to practice the forgiveness formula, you know, like remember I'm not a body, release it, give it over to Holy Spirit. You know, hey, I don't want to identify with this anymore. I want to identify with my place at home. And it would help. It would help, but it didn't necessarily get rid of my migraines, you know. And what I think I was doing was at the same time going, you know, I really don't want to suffer like this anymore. I would like to get rid of this. I just don't know how, and kind of hand it over. And it was really through when I met my wife. My wife practices like hypnotherapy and a method called Psyche. And quite honestly, allowing her to work on me, I really don't get them anymore. It's pretty amazing. So awesome. For me, it was like it's a story of like you can still practice forgiveness and maybe you don't see the results right away. But then the Holy Spirit is the one that's providing the healing and it's going to show up in ways that would probably surprise you. Because for me, it was like, oh, well, I have to do the healing. You know, that's my job.
Right.
And I'm learning like, no, you can let people help you, especially people you love in your life. Yeah.
And that is a profound healing for some of us who have felt like we're alone.
Yeah.
Right. That we all do heal together and we are all one family. Right.
Yep.
And so some of us felt like, oh, I'm the healer. I have to heal everybody else or whatever. Or I'm the peacemaker in the family. You know, I'm the glue right. that holds the family together. I'm the middle child or all of those kinds of things where that person sometimes it's the hardest. The most healing thing is to say, OK, you can help me.
Exactly. And that's what I love about when you kind of let it go and allow like Spirit, Holy Spirit to do its job, I guess you could say. Because what I see is typically it's not just healing that thing that you think needs healed. It's all the other surrounding things as well. It's like this exponential impact kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Like in my case, it wasn't just healing the migraines. It was healing this need that I've got to do everything.
Right. And that all prayers are answered. The form yeah. in which that answer comes, you know, you can't judge and decide. And if you're open, you'll start to see it. And that's exactly what you were doing, right? You had a, I don't want this anymore. I release it. But you were thinking it might come in a direct way, and it came in this other way. And that was actually even more healing on more dimensions for you.
Exactly. Yep.
Beautiful.
It really is. I mean, I was just thinking about that before the show and just grateful for the people I do have in my life, like yourself, like my wife and others. And I couldn't have dreamt this stuff up.
Go Mary.
Woohoo. Yeah, go Mary.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
She's doing a lot of beautiful work.
She really is. Yeah, it is quite amazing, especially the Psyche stuff, because it's really quick. But I've noticed like, and that's I think partly why I'm able to deal with things at work more. It's not just because I practice a course, but I'm getting tools and help so that it works. Mm-hmm. You know? It's pretty awesome.
It's It's awesome. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. But with you, Sheldon, like the thing, and this still sticks in my mind. I mean, literally, I remember the day we were walking down the street in Burlingame, and I had this really sharp pain in my neck. And I remember you telling me about hands-on healing, and I'd seen a little bit of it, like with our friend Darren. But I remember you literally just touched my neck, and bam, like all this pain was instantly gone. And I know that you continue to do this kind of work, but I wanted to take some time to kind of hear your side of it or explain, like, how have you always had this? How does it work? How does it fit in with the Course in Miracles, that kind of thing? Because I think, you know, you obviously have a gift, and it seems pretty rare, and I wanted you to have a chance to talk about it. And put you on the spot, because I love doing that.
You want to hear my version of that story?
Yes, I do.
Scott's pushing me, saying, hey, you have this gift. You need to share it with the world, people. And I'm like flipping you off, saying you're full of it. And in walking down the street, I pat you on the back. And you say, see, it's gone. And I'm like, F you, you son of a bitch. You're bullshitting me. I don't know. I swear I had a pain in my neck and it's gone. And I was just like, not even believing you. You're like, I'm not kidding. It's gone. I had a pain. It's been there for months or whatever, and it's gone. And I was just like, okay. And that was part of, you know, my healing, which is, you know, there's fear. There's been layers of fear for me into allowing love to flow through in that way, which really is what I look at it as, right? It's all about love. It's all about opening to greater levels of love and accepting that love for yourself and then sharing it and radiating it, right?
Right.
And again, you know, awakening to that deeper level of oneness, which is the first cause. And as you connect to that, things shift. And you can bring that, and that can kind of flow. It feels like an energy that flows through. And it helps other people to connect to that oneness within them, the divinity within them. They might not be aware of it. So it's not that I'm doing anything. It's that, mm-hmm. you know, that I'm just, and literally for me, you know, it's like, I don't do anything. I'm not a healer. You know, some people are more active in how they heal. I'm very passive in it, in the sense that all I do is sort of meditate and lay hands, and I can feel a beautiful connection and beautiful clarity, peace, and flow of energy coming through. And that's it. You know?
Yeah, so you're basically a channel. You're just channeling in whatever needs to happen for that person.
Yeah. And I'm trying to be as clear of a channel. And every once in a while, I'll say, hey, put your hand here. You know, move over here. But for the most part, I'm just sitting there, you know. And somebody says, oh, my neck hurts. Okay, I'll put my hands in your neck. And start there, and that's it. And I do a little kind of like a – it's just really a clearing meditation, and that's it. I'm mm-hmm. not actively doing anything. I'm actively getting out of the way.
Right, yeah.
As you know, deeply as I can. That's it.
Okay.
So it has had, you know, dramatic effects for people, for a lot of people. So it's kind of cool.
It is. And can you give us a couple of examples?
you forced me to, you beat me over the head, you coerced me, and you got me to do that healing workshop with a bunch of healers in that Sacred Paths bookstore in San Mateo where we all met and started. Mm-hmm. And the woman and her daughter come in, and this is like one of the first experiences for me. I really was in a lot of fear about it. I had, you know, no idea what was going on or what I was supposed to do. And you had set it all up. And then another one of the healers, the woman comes in with her daughter, and she says, you should go see that guy. So she was kind of connected for whatever reason, and she directed this daughter and mother to me. So I come into the room, and basically she had a problem with her breathing, so I laid hands on her back for the 10-minute free session or whatever it was, right? Or $10 mm-hmm. or whatever, right? So I laid hands for like 10 minutes. She goes home. We exchange email addresses, and I get an email from the daughter like 2 weeks later. She says, can you come see me? My mom, she's been coughing up this black mung for the last 2 weeks, but she believes it has to do with the healing that you did. I said, okay. Mm-hmm. So I went over to her house, laid hands on her for like an hour. This is literally one of the first times I ever did something like this. And she continued to cough up this stuff. I think I saw her twice at her home. And then after that, I got an email and she said, mom plays tennis, she goes for walks, she's totally fine, she's off all of her medications. And it turned out that she was like had some sort of lung problem, like an asthma stuff, and she was on all kinds of medications and she couldn't do any of the things that she was now doing because she couldn't breathe. She couldn't be outside in Nepal and all this kind of stuff. Everything would react. And now she was completely fine.
Wow. And
she'd gone through this releasing process of purging out a bunch of stuff for a while, and then after that she was totally fine. And then I never saw her again, but she was like, oh, thank you so much, it's all good. So, you know, stuff like that. I've laid hands on people and had them, you know, stop taking their meds.
Wow.
One of the people in our Course in Miracles group, which I didn't know, and I just, you know, we were going around the room and I was laying hands on people and just and she, you know, had various antidepressant medications and stuff like that. And she just forgot to take it the next morning and didn't feel any adverse effects, so stopped taking it. And basically from that day forward, never took it again.
Wow.
And was fine. And I think she'd been on it for years. So, you know, I do a lot at my body shop. I've, you know, healed guys and said, go back to work.
Yeah, these are like physical pain kind of things.
Physical pain things.
Right.
You know, one dude, I first day at the new job, walk in and the guy's like holding his shoulder and he's like moving his arm and he's clearly having a hard time moving his arm. And it's like literally the first day I walk into the job and I'm like, oh gosh, and look up, you know, like, are you really for real right now? I have to do this here. Because I've been surrendering to that. Okay, if I'm supposed to do this, then I'm open to doing it wherever it needs to happen and with whomever is presented. You know, like trying to have an openness to that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is a lot of fear for me. So, and you know it, I've been through all these bouts of crying and, you know, releasing and shaking and just like convulsive, ugly crying over, oh, you're a healer. And start mm-hmm. crying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been there, you've seen it, you've caused it. And so, you're the one. So, you know, for me, it's been a process of releasing fears. And part of that acceptance for me is, okay, whatever comes, whenever it presents itself, I'm going to be open to that. And so I walk into the very first day at work, brand new dude, you know, walk in, it's a body shop, and here's this guy, he can barely move his arm. And I'm like, oh, God. Probably swearing a little bit. I was like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? So I walk up to the, hey, my name's Sheldon, how's it going? Can probably help you with that. And he's just like, what? And I'm looking, pointing at Sheldon, I could probably help you with that. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, I could probably make that, you know, I could probably help you with that. And he's just like, what do I got to do? And I said, just sit there for a second. And he goes, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm put my hands on your shoulders. And he's like, okay. And this is literally, hi, how you doing? My name's Sheldon here. I can help you with that. Put my hands on his shoulder, kind of do a meditation for like 30 seconds or a minute. And then, you know, walk away. We go about our business. I'm learning how to do the work, blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, he comes up to me and he's just like, it's like, or actually, I think it was the next morning, he comes up to me and he goes, dude, it's like 80% gone. Can you do it again? Mm. And I'm like, sure. So at the end of the day, that second day, did it again, probably for like 2 minutes or something. And it was gone. And the pain in his shoulder was gone. And he was doing push-ups and burpees and lifting weights and pull-ups at work or whatever, just working out and totally using the arm. And then about 6 or 8 months later, he's like, yeah, I was had a torn rotator cuff. I was supposed to be scheduled for surgery, but I never did it because, you know, it's all good. So, you know, that was fairly dramatic. I mean, there's a bunch like that. I had one guy every 6 months, my knee started hurting again. Will you lay your hands on me? Sure. And lay hands on his knee and he'd get up and he'd go back to work and it'd be fine.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So there's a bunch of things.
Yeah, I mean, you're a natural healer. When did you first notice that you were able to do this?
Well, it's been a process. I think even before I met you, I could massage people. And I even had a table, right? And but it had never really been trained in any of that. And I always said that it came from my mom because my mom had a bad back her whole life. So I was massaging my mom's back ever since I was probably 5 years old.
Right, yeah, because it's been there since you were a kid, right?
Yeah. And at that time, I would get whatever they had. So
really?
I could feel a strand of muscle in somebody. They're like, oh, my neck's all kinked up, you know, and I'd work on it. And 10, 15 minutes later, I'm sitting at my desk and all of a sudden, you know, and my neck's all jacked up and I'm like, oh gosh. And so I think that that was part of what generated fear in me was that I have to get what they have in order for them to release it. And I had one case, which was fairly profound for me where, and I was actually doing speed. I was a drug addict for a while, so I was all high. So that's the truth. And this girl that I was hanging out with was a massage therapist, and she was like having a hard time with her shoulder. And she says, I can't move my shoulder. It's been in pain for like 6 months. It's all locked up. And I said, hey, I can probably help you. Let me try, you know. And we were totally doing drugs at the time. And she's just like, well, you should ground yourself in white light, you know, and all that stuff. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. And so I do a quick 5 minute massage, just like rubbing her shoulder, and continue to get high for the rest of the weekend. And then like, go home, and it took about 2 days later, which was the longest that it ever, usually it's immediate, it just started to totally lock up my shoulder, this exact same spot where hers was, and I could always feel the muscles, so I knew the strand that I was working on her, and all of a sudden that exact strand would start to lock up on me, and my shoulder was locked up, and so I call her a couple days later, I'm like, hey, how's my shoulder anyway, and she's like, oh my god, I totally forgot about it, thank you so much, it's gone, and I'm like, oh, that's nice, and yeah. That one took me 6 weeks. I was in pain.
Wow.
My shoulder was locked up for over a month before it finally released out. So, but when I started doing the Course in Miracles and I started laying hands in a different way, kind of by your, you know, influence and support, kicks, it shifted. And so it became a surrendering process and an opening process, and there was this energy flowing through me. So nothing ever happened to me. Nothing's ever happened since in terms of me experiencing anything negative from it. So I don't feel tired doing it. People are like, oh, do you feel tired? Are you drained? And I don't mean to drain your energy. And I'm like, it's, you know, divine love flowing through. It feels beautiful, and it's, you know, what we all are, and there's nothing. It doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, I think that's a great point that you raised, because you know, having done a little bit of channeling and then seeing other people that have done different modalities, I would say if something that you're, you know, channeling or practicing like drains your energy or tires you, it's probably a good sign that maybe it's not, you know, of a loving, fully loving source, you know. Especially if you're feeling discomfort or pain, probably a good indication to question what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think I really love what you said, because I think that's a beautiful part about learning the difference, especially, you know, whether you're practicing spirituality, practicing a healing modality. If you're kind of taking more of a masculine, put it out there, heal someone, like force it on them kind of an energy, I think in today's day and age, it's probably not as supported as much as like what you said, allowing, kind of like just allowing source and love to come through rather than try to put it on someone or force it on someone or give it to them, you know, that kind of thing.
That's funny. I actually had a woman, we were at our AUM center having an open house, and we were allowing people to kind of experience hands-on healing and stuff like that. And we have several healers there, right? So we were all just taking people, whoever. And I laid hands on a woman who I didn't know at all. And she was like, but she kind of gave me some feedback afterwards. And she said, it was far more yin, as in yang yin, right? Yang active yin. She goes, that was very loving, gentle yin energy that you brought through. Because I was surprised, because I think she was surprised looking at me physically, right?
Yeah.
She thought it was going to be a very yang energy coming through. Mm-hmm. And she's like, it was really yin, like, and very gentle and very, you know, soft. And she mm-hmm. liked it and was like kind of surprised and shared that with me spontaneously after I laid hands. And I was like, oh, that I had never really thought about it like that.
Yeah.
But that yeah, is true.
Yeah, all that subtlety. And granted, I'm not saying that, you know, the masculine type approaches won't work for people. I mean, it's going to be to each their own. Absolutely. I know reconnective healing is kind of more of a, I'm going to blast you with stuff kind of an approach, which I think works for people.
Absolutely.
But I think for you and I think we've found that kind of allowing seems to be a lot more effective.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, for me also, I would probably have my ego involved more, you know? And I think mm-hmm. for me, it allows me to stay out of my ego about it, right? That, oh, mm-hmm. I'm doing this. It's like, you know, I'm not doing anything.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I'm not doing anything. Literally, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. If you can get your ego and personality out of the way, it's just going to help yourself and others way more effectively, efficiently, I think. Like,
yeah, that, and that's worked for me. And again, it's, you know, like you were saying, not to say that there aren't people that are absolutely in the flow of love and grace and in healing energy and in a beautiful way that can be more active with it. Because mm-hmm. I know some of them, right? You know, mm-hmm. people at the center do some beautiful stuff, and some of them are more active with it, and they're just more connected in this sort of more conscious, active way than I am. So there's all kinds of different ways that approach it. I think ultimately, from A Course in Miracles perspective, it's just about love, right?
Yeah. Yep.
It's about allowing love. It's about allowing love into you, through you, for you, and seeing the love within them. And that's sort of, and seeing, you know, and just being with that person and accepting what is. So when you're accepting what is with them, just open, just complete state of openness,
mm-hmm.
healing happens.
It does. It does happen. And I know that, you know, the Course does distinguish like people that are healed versus those that are do not, like if there is an attempt on someone to heal and then they're not healed, it's typically at least from the Course's perspective, because they're holding on to a lot of fear, or there's an identity with that pain or discomfort that they're going through. And, you know, it's just sort of like Holy Spirit will just allow them to do that. It's not going to come in and shake them up and force them to heal. And I think that was something that I know, at least for me, when I was reading through it, I was kind of struggling with. It's like, well, okay, well, wouldn't Spirit want to heal everything? But it's kind of like, it goes back again to the metaphysics of the Course. Well, if the true nature of our identity, you know, we should all just know that, right? We should just know we're with God. But then there's that whole ego fear thing. And if we are having a nightmare, like a parent wouldn't immediately shake a child up. It would just kind of gently wake them up from that nightmare. Mm-hmm. I think the same is true for any kind of sickness,
yeah.
Yeah, or disease.
It's not going to, miraculous healing will not occur if it's going to generate more fear.
Exactly. Yep.
So it has to do also with the readiness of everybody, the healer, the person being healed, whatever, that all people and entities and beings involved accepting.
Yep. That's why I think, you know, for anyone that may be going through discomfort or pain or some sort of disease, I mean, really, you know, I think the immediate need is, how do I fix my body? But the Course's perspective is, well, how do you achieve more peace in your mind?
Yes.
It doesn't seem like a direct route, but it should have all these, you know, amazing side effects if you focus there.
It's going to first cause. It's going to the cause.
Exactly.
And that really is the only place where change can happen. You know, the meaningful change. That's where it needs to happen first.
Yep. It's kind of like, you know, if your end goal, let's say, this might not be the right metaphor, but it's to paint a room. Well, sometimes you got to clear all the clutter out of the room in order to get to that mm-hmm. stage of painting, you know, and I think everyone wants that direct go to the direct thing. But, you know, the course is all about patience and, again, going to that root cause and following the steps to get there.
The course has some interesting things about, like, I think it says something like you shouldn't or you don't need to do healing more than once, right?
Yeah, actually, it's in the manual for teachers section. Yeah. And it basically says if you're a teacher of God, you've performed a healing, all you need to do is do it once, because part of, if you're a teacher of God, you need to learn trust, because when you do the healing, you channel it, you've done your job, and now allow Holy Spirit to do the rest.
Right. And I've had some, you know, I've gone around on that one, because at first I was like, okay, I'm done. You know, even that first person came to me and said, hey, can I see you again? Mm-hmm. I think I had talks with Jacqueline about it at that time. Like, well, you know, am I supposed to do it again? Or is it just say, hey, no, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And for me, it comes down to kind of loving, compassionate support.
Yep.
And again, like you were saying, if there's a fear there, and the person can't accept, or isn't ready at that moment, right, for a full miraculous one-time, bam, it's gone kind of thing, and repetition is needed as a more gentle way in time, you know, to allow for a release in stages, that's okay. And that, you know, if that's the most loving and compassionate way in which that can happen, then that's what I want to be part of, and that's okay. So that kind of, you know, I've kind of gone around on that thing, because that actually hit me pretty hard when I first was getting into this stuff back, you know, when you were down here and we were, I was just like, I remember that going, you know, well, what's that all about? What am I supposed to do there? You know?
Yeah. I think it might be bringing up other fear for that person. And so sometimes, you know, it's sort of like, well, you know, if you're a practitioner, like I think seeing people again, you're sort of demonstrating or being a teacher for them. And maybe, you know, you're kind of coaching them or working through them, not about the issue they think that they're coming to you for, but around all the other, you know, roadblocks to love, you know, that get in the way.
Yeah. Like with Mary helping you, you know, the opening, you know, the accepting of that support. And let's say maybe you needed to have that regularly, right?
So that
you learn to readily accept.
So exactly. Yeah. It's sort of like
multiple sessions.
Yeah. Like I know when Mary helps me, it's not really always about, you know, like a migraine or that I got upset about that thing at work or I'm afraid of this. It's always something deeper. Mm-hmm. And you just don't, sometimes it is so subconscious, you really don't know what it is. And so it's nice that there are practical tools out there. Again, you know, the course can help with the philosophy, but then I think there's practical tools out there that will help people work with all that subconscious stuff that we're really not aware of, or at least maybe other people see it and we're blind to it ourselves personally. I know I don't see everything that, you know, blocks peace in my life. Whereas other people are like, Scott, come on, what the heck? That's so obvious.
That's why we all do it together, right?
Exactly.
Because we all have blocks and that we can't see. That's why they're there. We don't see them, you know? And so, you know, it takes, you know, your wife, you know, or your friend or somebody, coworker, to step on those blocks or to reveal them, sometimes gently, sometimes not gently, but so that you can see them, right? And that's the whole idea. Also, I did want to say, though, that, you know, the course also says, you know, if you got to take medicine for the body, like aspirin or whatever, then take the aspirin if that's where you're at.
You know, use whatever magic you need to.
It does use the word magic associated with that, right?
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
Because it won't generate more fear. So if you're saying, oh, you know, I'm supposed to, you know, just heal the mind and I should, you know, my body should be healed. But that, at that level of acceptance of where you are right now, if that isn't happened already, then the addressing the physical symptom at the level of the physical is appropriate.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's part of accepting what is, right? It's part of you accepting where you are and what is, which is healing on a fundamental level. So when people are like, oh, I'm just supposed to, you know, prayer only or whatever, right? They're not accepting where they are and what is, which again is healing. That's connecting to divine unconditional love when you're doing that. So you are actually opening the gateway to that miraculous love and healing, right? By saying, oh, you know, I need to have the surgery. I need to do whatever, you know, that is okay.
Exactly. I think you brought up a good point, because I think, you know, what for any book or religion or spiritual practice, you know, you can get fundamentalist with this stuff and go, you know, oh, the Course says I'm based in fear if I get a headache, right? It's like, well, it's saying that at a higher level. And yeah, I think it's a really good reminder. You got to be practical about all this and not beat yourself up as you go through all this. If I get a headache, I'm going to take some, you know, Advil or something, because right. I don't want to suffer. Because that's the other main point of the Course. It's like, you can learn all this stuff without suffering. So why would you want to beat yourself up or go through all this? Because, you know, Christ basically suffered for us, and he, you know, and again, the disappearance of the universe stuff is like, well, he didn't even really suffer, actually. That was really the main message, is he was so enlightened, he didn't feel the pain when they were pounding nails in there. I mean, that's pretty awesome to get to that level, but I'm not there yet. I get a headache, I'm going to take some Advil.
And sometimes when you don't, is that a form of attack and punishment of yourself?
Exactly. Exactly. And so then, yeah, you get to forgive yourself so that maybe you skip a time when you're supposed to have a headache, because you're just filling your mind with more peace and light and love.
Right. And at that time, the loving thing to do, the loving thing for yourself, is take the aspirin, you know?
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
That's a way of expressing love to myself.
Exactly. Yep.
And support and receiving, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So the form of it can be all kinds of different things.
Yep, exactly. And that's why I think another great example of, you know, you might not know what's being healed within you or around you. And that's why sometimes it's good to hear confirmation things. Like, I know, again, with the Gary Renard books, you know, they basically said, hey, because you've been practicing forgiveness for a while, you just avoided a major car accident. I mean, you would never know that unless these ascended masters told them that. But it's like, yeah, right. How do you know, as you're practicing this, what you're actually healing and what you're actually avoiding, I guess, from a body perspective, you know, from pain or violence. Yep.
Right.
That's why it's all good.
It's all love.
It's all good. It's all good. It's all love. Well, hey, I think we're pretty much there, and I figured maybe use the last couple minutes to remind folks about, you know, AUM and maybe some stuff we're working on. So,
AUM, two of our the founder and one of our other key people went to HeartMath and are now certified to use one of the HeartMath tools. It's a piece of equipment actually can measure heart-brain coherence, heart-mind coherence, and it can measure the field and the depth and the kind of like the groundedness of that field based on how deep your connection is and your coherence. And there's a lot of science that they just came back. I'm super excited. So Arts Unity Movement will be incorporating the science of the heart math, which is a way of actually quantifying and measuring this heart field coherence. And I don't even, you know, fully know what that will entail. So we're having a meeting tomorrow, a board meeting tomorrow, and we're going to be presented by the people that attended what they learned. But we're super excited about incorporating HeartMath's technology and science into everything that we're doing. It's kind of like basically proving meditation. You know what I mean? That, hey, these things affect things. These things can help heal. That's the newest thing that's going on with AUM.
That's right, awesome. Now. Yeah, and I love their work, because it's a great reminder of how I think a lot of traditional Westerners think the brain runs everything, but their studies show obviously the heart and the field of the heart actually thinks for the brain, which could be... Go ahead.
And how everything's connected, that they were saying that the field of an individual affects the greater field of the whole, which actually affects the field of the planet. They've actually been able to show fluctuations in the electromagnetic field of the planet affecting people, affecting hospital check-in rates, affecting mental disturbance rates and measure it, because they've got sensors and these detectors that are detecting the field. And so just kind of just saying, hey, we're all connected on an even more profound level than we realize, right?
Yeah, that's exciting. I'd love to, stay super tuned exciting. On what you guys are doing with that.
Super,
that's awesome.
Super, super exciting. Ellie and Colleen were just super excited about it, and we're going to talk about it tomorrow.
And how would people get a hold of you guys?
Artsunitymovement.com. And we're still doing the Course in Miracles, 7 to 9 p.m. on Wednesdays. So if anybody hears this and interested in joining us, would love to have you join us. So it's at 149 South Boulevard in San Mateo, California. And if you just go to artsunitymovement.com, you can find out more.
Great. And if you're interested in a little bit more about this show and Sheldon myself, we have our website at ofcourseradio.com.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. And I think that wraps us up for this show. We'll be back on again in a couple weeks. And we'll have to figure out what our topic is for next week. I think we had one, but I forgot what it is right now.
We'll throw up a few pieces of paper and see what lands or what.
See what lands, yep. Okay. All right.
All right.
Well, enjoy. Keep up the healing of the mind and the love.
And you do the same, Scott, and everybody out there, whoever happens to hear this thing, much love.
Much love.